Yesterday, Ciaro mentioned about the Maluja Buddha Sutra. There, the monk asked Lord Buddha to give a precise and concise instruction on how to practice Vipassana meditation. So Lord Buddha gave a summary of how to practice Vipassana meditation. And Lord Buddha also said, what advantages and benefits can a yogi get by noting carefully? So that was a summary of yesterday's Dhamma talk. So in there, Lord Buddha instructed the monk to note things as they are. So if he sees something, then he should just see enough. Do not put enough effort. Do not think more about seeing, but just note on what is seeing. And Lord Buddha says, if just once note seeing and note as seeing, then the physical and phenomena such as the sight sense and the sight will no longer be associated or related with the yogi. This is saying in a formal sense. So in an informal sense, what it means is that it is not related, because if the yogi is not attached to a sight, then there is no attachment, greed, lobha, raga. And also, if there is no attachment, and just by noting, there will not be any anger or hatred, known as dosa. Also, there will not be a possibility of having delusion or a wrong view, thinking that there is a self, a soul, and so on. That is because when the yogi notes seeing as just seeing, hearing as just hearing, there is no more thinking or no defilements can happen. So why do people normally think and ponder when they see something? Three things are in action. One is they will say, it is me, it is I. And they will sometimes say, this is mine, this is my possession, and they will say, I am myself, and so on. They are all wrong views depending on which defilement is in play. Suppose one thinks that I am, then one is attached to one's body. So there is tanha attachment. And if one thinks this is mine, this is my possession, there is some false pride and there is some conceit. And if one thinks that it is me, it is mine, it is myself, and so on, then one has a wrong view. So when the tanha, attachment, conceit, false pride, and deity wrong view are in place, then the yogi is said to be related or associated with the physical and mental phenomena that they are noting. But if they truly note as Lord Buddha says, and then just note that they are just physical and mental phenomena, then there will be no tanha attachment, there will be no conceit or false pride, and there will be no deity or wrong view. So it is just in the, if you study the Pali verse, there is a formal explanation and there is a layman's explanation. What is important is to understand that you should note things as they happen. So then Lord Buddha said another Pali verse, which can be translated as follows. If one has no attachment on the Aramana object, and one relinquishes all these defilements associated with these object, then one is set to face Nibbana or tend towards liberation. And it is also known as the end of suffering. So Searo gave the Pali translation exactly what it means is that Lord Buddha told Maluja Potamak, if you follow what I said and just stop at sin and just note it is sin, then you will not be in this, you will not belong to this world. Or what it says is the physical and mental phenomena sequence at that time will not belong to this world, and it will not also belong to the other world. It will be not be placed where it is said it is the end of suffering and is Nibbana. So by that, Searo explained that by this world it means the human world. So in the human world there are physical and mental sequences and phenomena and attachment. And the other world means things such as the Deva and Brahma planes and other world. So it says that eventually if just one notes things, then the time when this physical and mental sequence has no more, do not appear again, it is said to be the end of suffering and it is said to be Nibbana. So when one practices Vipassana meditation and has enough practice, then one is likely to cultivate Vipassana jnana, knowledge, understanding about the practice of Vipassana meditation. So one will be able to note clearly the physical and phenomena rising and the physical and phenomena disappearing, especially if one practices with energy, vigor, then that knowledge will appear quickly. What is said is that at every moment, then they will be able to see that the physical phenomena or the object to be noted, which is the noting mind, which is the mental phenomena, both comes to an end in different ways. And if one is able to see the end, it is said to be the end of suffering, and it is also said to be a form of Nibbana liberation. And there is yet another case where there are arahants and noble people and Buddha himself. When they passed away, known as Parinibbana, then it is said that the physical and mental phenomena cease to exist after the last moment of consciousness, known as Suddhisiddha. They will not appear again. They are deceased, disappear forever. And this is a form of Nibbana in order to differentiate from the other Nibbana which one sees while practicing Vipassana meditation. This Nibbana associated with these noble people is known as Anuvaditeta Nibbana. It means the ultimate liberation. So you know that there are two kinds of liberation. One, when one practices Vipassana meditation, and the other, when the arahants passed away. And even in the case of practicing Vipassana meditation, there are arahants before they passed away, they will face Nibbana again and again. So for that moment when they are practicing Vipassana meditation, they see the end of all the physical and mental phenomena. They see that the noting objects and the objects to be noted have disappeared. And when they finish it, then they are said to have practiced something called like tamapada or tamapadi, meaning even when they come out of this practice, they can still continue to sense this thing by trying to infer and what happened and so on. That is why they can sustain for long periods. So what is important is that if you practice Vipassana meditation, then it is close to Nibbana or liberation. So one, practice Vipassana meditation and reach to that state where one is able to see the cessation of suffering. Then one is no longer aware of or attached to the six sense doors, the ear, eye, and so on. Also, at that moment, one is not aware of the six senses themselves, sight, hearing, and so on. And one is also not aware of the mind, the consciousness, hearing consciousness, seeing consciousness, and so on. So what happens is that as the yogi practices Vipassana meditation, in the beginning, he has to note about the sense doors, sense, their interaction, and the consciousness. But when one truly sees the reality, then one is said to be having Sankha Rupekha. The Pali term meaning one is just observing the conditioned things and not the concepts in any form. So the yogi will see that all the things will come to an end, even the conditioned things, the consciousness, they also come to an end. So it is said that the yogi has disowned or dispossessed the sense doors, the senses, and the consciousness. That also is considered to be liberated, to have peace, tranquil kind of mind, and it is said to face Nibbana. So to elaborate, Searo mentioned an episode from the Milinda Pinya where Ashin Nagasena, the Venerable Nagasena, answers questions posed by King Milinda. The question was about Nibbana or liberation. So the Venerable Monk says, a yogi who is practicing Vipassana meditation has to practice at various levels. He has to note the things that is touching or interacting with the six sense doors. So when the senses interact with the sense doors, then things such as seeing, happening, hearing, thinking, and so on happen. So the yogi has to note incessantly. And if the yogi notes incessantly, then the yogi will not just notice the physical and mental phenomena. He will see beyond them. By that means, the cause and effect, and especially the ending of the physical and mental phenomena. Actually, there are a lot of things, too many to be able to note. But if just one notes one at a time, then one will be able to see every phenomena having a beginning and an end. And if one sees the end, it is said to be the end of existence of that particular rupa and nama, physical and mental phenomena, and note that they are impermanent, and one is said to have seen liberation, because that is a thing, that is a time when there is no more suffering, and it is said to be peace and tranquil. So this example will be able to understand by you, because you are also practicing Vipassana meditation, and you can relate to that Vipassana jnana wisdom associated with it. Searo has explained in detail for some time the Maluja Buddha Sutta. So it is now time to review and summarize the important stuff of those Dhamma talks. Maluja Buddha asked Lord Buddha to give a precise and concise instruction on how to practice Vipassana meditation. So complying with that, Lord Buddha gave in four short sentences. When you see something, just note as seeing. When you hear something, just note as hearing. When you sense, taste, touch, then just note them as smelling, tasting, and touching. When you are thinking, just thinking, sense, stop at thinking. So what does it mean? It means that when you are practicing Vipassana meditation, whatever happens at that moment, the physical and mental phenomena, you are to note carefully. So it is also compliant with this Vipassana instruction that you are given to practice daily. So that is the first important part, to note the physical and mental phenomena at that very moment. The second thing is, why should we note them? So Searo explained in detail that if one does not note, then the defilements are likely to occur. There will be attachment, greed, lobha. There will be hatred and anger, dosa. There can be conceit, false pride, mana. There can be delusion of no self, of having a self, control, and so on, deity. So these occur when one does not note, and these occur when one notes very loosely. But if one notes very diligently, then there is no gap, and the yogi knows that there is just the noting object and the noting mind. There is no possibility of the kilesa defilements from happening. At that moment, you have got Vipassana jnana, meaning there is wisdom, insight knowledge associated with the Vipassana meditation. And with that, you are able to eradicate, prevent them, at least for that moment. So that in Pali, Searo mentions, is known as Aramana Kilesa, that has been completely eradicated. These are the defilements that are associated with the noting object. So if one practices it, then one is said to have cleared, cleansed, eliminated, eradicated the defilements. So this can be also thought as the action taking place when one notes things as they happen. So the third one is, Searo explained in detail what Lord Buddha says to the monk about the results or the fruits of practicing Vipassana meditation. So there are many, especially they are talking about how at that moment you are devoid of the defilements. And at the very end, Lord Buddha says that if one practices further and one reaches the noblehood, the path of the noble Ariya, then one is said to have eradicated all these things completely, and one is said to be liberated. There are many terms that are associated with this. It is called Nibbana. It is called liberation. You are now free from all the mental defilements. And it is said that at that moment, the physical and mental phenomena are not present in this world, or not present in the other world or any place. That is known as the end of suffering, and it is defined as Nibbana. So these four things are actually the summary of the Maluja Sutta, the sermon given by Lord Buddha to the old monk who was about 80 and wanted to practice Vipassana meditation. So after listening to Buddha's Dhamma talk, then Maluja Buddha, venerable monk, replied in 24 verses. For each sense or sense door, there are four verses. So there are four verses related to how he experienced and how he thinks about Buddha's teachings, and another four for hearing and so on. So for a total, it was the Maluja Buddha monk trying to paraphrase and also add his own experience of Buddha's Dhamma talk. There is not enough time to tell about these 24 verses. Maybe on another occasion, it might become another topic of a Dhamma talk. But what is important is to recollect what Maluja Buddha monk said in the very beginning. He said that, Lord, although I am old, I want to practice Vipassana meditation. Please give me a precise and concise instruction on how to practice Vipassana meditation. I give my pledge that after I hear your Dhamma talk, I will go to a place by myself where it is peace and quiet. Then I will practice with diligence. So the Pali words are called appamado, meaning there is no forgetfulness. There is awareness, sati, at every moment. And there will, he will practice with adabi, meaning as if, remember, a fireball can deter all the insects. So it is with very high energy that he will practice it. And then he said that he will also practice tabadan, meaning trying not to prevent the akusalas that have not happened, to prevent akusalas happening at that very moment, to practice good deeds that have not been done before, and to remember the good deeds that one have done before. So according to that his pledge, it is said that this Maluja Buddha monk went to a place and then practiced and noting about seeing, sighing, and so on. And he had all the qualities that are needed to become a noble monk. It is said that after some time, maybe in a day or two, or maybe longer, there is no specific reference to that. But not before long, it is said that the Maluja Buddha monk became fully enlightened. What is important is that because he had listened to Buddha's Dhamma talk with sadha, faith and confidence, and he has practiced with sati, awareness. He cultivated samadhi, concentration. He developed panya, wisdom and knowledge. So all these things are important, And so, according to his pledge, he followed Buddha's instructions in detail, so he became an arahant. So you yogis are also in this retreat practicing vipassana meditation that has been instructed by Lord Buddha, and we practice as Maluja Buddha. We are noting things at the very moment. So what we also need is things that helped him become an arahant. So we need sadha, faith and confidence. We need viriya, energy. We need samadhi, wisdom. We need jnana, knowledge and understanding, and so on. And then we should practice well. And Searo is happy and delighted to see that you yogis are practicing diligently in every moment and every opportunity. So now we are back to the very beginning at the start of the retreat. Searo opened the Dhamma talk by teaching or relating about Daru Khanda Pamana Sutta. It is about a log floating on the Ganges River, and Lord Buddha pointed out to his disciples and said, "Do you see that log over there? If that log is not stuck to this side of this river or bank, if it is not stuck to the other side of the river or bank, if it does not sink in the river, if it does not land on the bank, if there is no human or deva that is going to pick up, if there is no whirlpool that can suck it down, and if there is no rotting or decay, then that log will surely make its way from the Ganges River to its final destination without trouble, that is the ocean, because it is the way, and the Ganges River flows into the ocean." The simile is like that. So you Dhamma sons, if you also are not stuck on this side of the bank, if you are not stuck on the other side of the bank, and also if the other conditions are present, do not occur, then you will definitely face liberation, face Nibbana. Why? Because what you practice is known as Samadhi, the right view, right understanding, and is associated Megin, the eighth path, the middle way. They are inclined towards liberation, and so with that you will definitely reach Nibbana. And there are about eight conditions in there, but for the retreat, Searo chose only two topics, meaning what does it mean to be not stuck on this side of the bank and not to be stuck on this side of the bank. Searo explained that if one is not attached to the six sense doors, the six inner ayatanas, then one is said not to be stuck on this side of the bank. And if one is not attached to the six senses themselves, the outer ayatanas, then they are said to be not stuck on the other side of the bank. So Searo notes that there are still other five or six conditions to explain. So a summary of it will be given in tomorrow's Dhamma talk, which is also marking the end of the retreat. And maybe if time permits, in a later session, then Searo will explain about the other conditions that can also get rise to liberation. What is important is that the foundation, the basic principles are important. And if you yogis understand the basic principles, then it is easier to get to the higher stages of wisdom, insight, knowledge. there is no doubt. So in this retreat, the yogis have practiced Vipassana meditation with full energy, with full faith and confidence. So Siaro is also delighted to see all these yogis practicing. So what is needed is that may the yogis also try to continue this effort, and may they be delighted in this practice of Vipassana meditation so that they know that it is on the right path to liberation. You have accumulated a lot of merits. You have accumulated Dhamma Savana Kusala, listening attentively to the Dhamma talk. You have practiced morality by taking the precepts and trying to abstain from the misdeeds. And best of all, you have practiced fervently the Vipassana practice. So you have accumulated a lot of good deeds, and with your sirana volition and your practice karma, may you go on to accumulate much more insight knowledge, and may you quickly get what you want most. That is mega phala jnana, path, fruition, and liberation. And with that, we end today's Dhamma talk.